is Olivia Youngers, and I play Ensign Riggs on Season 3 of Picard, and unfortunately, I've just slept through every episode of Let's Talk Trek.
Welcome to Let's Talk About Treks, an episodic review of today's Visions of the Future featuring Earl Grey and Jack Dorino.
Welcome, everybody.
Hello.
My name is Earl Grey.
My name is Jack Dorino.
And we are Let's Talk About Treks.
Let's Talk About Treks is the podcast that is the spirit animal to your Starfleet toddler.
Okay.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
Sure. Today we'll be discussing Season 1, Episode 4, 5,
yeah,
and 6.
Yeah.
Asteroid Blasters, Part 4, Part 5, and Part 6.
Yeah, I noticed that there are actually titles for the... They're sort of titles.
Sort of, yeah.
I don't know if they're titles of the individual segments or they're just descriptions of what happens.
Yes.
Yeah.
And no. And both.
Okay. Sounds great.
I appreciate your observation.
Yeah, sometimes on our podcast, which is called Let's Talk About Treks, the Star Trek podcast, there are sections. So sometimes we separate the entire podcast into sections, and those have titles. So this is sort of like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
These episodes were released on the 4th of October, the 11th of October, and the 18th of October, respectively. 2025.
So they release weekly, I think is what I'm hearing.
Yes.
4 plus 7
yes.
is 11. Yeah.
Surprise. Spoilers.
Yeah.
There is a 10th episode, and who knows if there'll be another one maybe next week.
Yeah, I noticed that there was a 10th one out. I was like, uh-oh. Our plan has changed. Well, maybe not changed.
It doesn't have to.
But I think that, yeah, I don't think so, because I think that we have stuff to fill all the way to Starfleet Academy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Again, we're not sure of the placement in the timeline.
Yet.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm. Episode 4 is the fourth of 9 out of 10.
Indeed.
Or 10 episodes of Star Trek Scouts released so far.
So again, these episodes were apparently written by Gene Roddenberry. Posthumously.
I mean, he's
third mention of the word posthumous on an episode of Let's Talk About Treks in a row. We don't have to talk about the first one.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I mean, he did kind of come up with other things. So maybe he came up with this?
I'm going to say probably not.
Yeah. Okay. Since Nickelodeon. Well, did Nickelodeon exist back just before?
Probably. Yes. Yeah. I'm going to say yes.
Beginning with Asteroid Blasters Part 4.
Yes. Which is called Blast a Pickle Pinata in Space.
Spoilers.
But it was spoilers right up front because I read it and I was like, okay, pickle pinata. But I didn't realize until the end that, oh, that's what was inside the pinata.
Yeah.
I was very, okay, let me go back to the beginning. So it's Sprocket's birthday.
Yeah.
Here's one thing that I noticed in watching these three episodes is there actually is like a little bit of a storyline and they actually throw in some interesting things that I hadn't expected here.
Yeah.
So this is Sprocket's birthday and there is cake.
There is cake.
He's apparently a little bit devious because he acts like he's going to blow the candles out and he uses his Go-Go Gadget arm instead.
Yes.
Which creates this whole mess.
Blows all the frosting all over everybody else.
Oh, yeah, that's fun for kids.
Typically, fans of a series like to, if there is a birth date, it is the release date of the episode is the date that is taking place on. So that's what they create the birth date to be for the character if they don't give a date during the episode.
Okay. So you're saying Sprocket's birth date is October 4th?
October 4th, whatever century they're in.
Okay. Sounds good. Sprocket has a little turtle buddy also. Mm-hmm. Everybody has a little pet buddy, which I really didn't notice until this second sort of round as well. So there's a Targ, which we've talked about before. I just didn't realize it's Rue's spirit buddy. Is that her name, Rue?
Yeah, Rue, as in, the son of Kanga.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering about. Like, why does she have an animal name? Sometimes in the closed captioning, she's called Drew. And then sometimes in the closed captioning, JR refers to her as R. So
I've also seen just RU for Rue.
Okay. Gotcha.
Now, by my count, on Sprocket's cake, there are six candles. There's one just behind, okay, almost directly in line with another one. Okay. So he's 6 years old today.
Very good. That is not a detail that I noticed. So thank you for catching that for us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it gives us an approximate age of all the characters, yeah, because they're all fairly close in age.
Yeah, they're about the same age. Sure. For Rue's birthday, I guess his wish was that he gets a pinata. So this pinata from the Pulsar Party system starts. It really should have been a pinata from the Pulsar Party planet, right?
Wouldn't that have
been the thing?
Maybe.
So how does the wheel work? Because, okay, so the pinata is coming at them, mm-hmm, and the wheel starts spinning. Did they spin the wheel?
Yeah, they spin the wheel.
Okay, because I wasn't sure if it was, because the announcer guy's like,
let's find out what the scouts will launch first.
So I thought that maybe the wheel was sort of an element that was external to the story.
Yeah, like meta.
And this is just like between us and the announcer.
Yeah.
To say, hey, see if we can figure out what they're going to do next.
You know? I think it's a little bit of both. It depends on how it fits into the story.
Yeah, it's just, I don't really see it with them. You know, like in their space. I only see it on the screen.
Well, I think at one point, uh-huh, one of the characters mentioned, what are we going to choose this time?
Right. So it's like a metaphysical wheel that they have, but we are looking at a representation of the wheel. That's what I think.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe they tell the computer to pick something that makes sense and it's not quite right AI with five fingers and 12 toes.
So the asteroid blaster, mm-hmm, which is what they use to shoot all these asteroids down, mm-hmm, obviously, it shoots a beam of pure whatever the thing is, I guess, and then that thing appears at the end of the beam. Is this a transporter or a replicator or some sort of preschool combination of both?
It's my interpretation that this is, the actual visible beam of a transporter. It's literally being beamed since, toddlers don't have quite the knowledge of Star Trek that we do after some 30 years of watching the show. Mm-hmm. So, they might have heard of a transporter beam and they're expecting a beam. So there's your beam.
Okay. I see what you're saying. Oh, okay. So we're doing a lot of visual representation on it. We're doing a lot of visual representation on this show. I see.
I think so, yeah. Or like literal visual translation, yeah.
Yeah. So there's a new guy that shows up in this episode in like a black uniform. His name is Finn.
Yeah. I mean, is he like a nemesis to Sprocket or a nemesis to JR or just all of them?
I think he's meant to be a nemesis to the team. He's sort of like a bad guy in a DC or a Marvel universe. You know, like he just kind of goes after the team.
Yeah, he's in a black uniform. I was wondering if he was in some sort of 5-year-old version of
Section 31.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry to steal your thunder. But he comes in and he steals the leaf blower and then turns it against them. Thankfully, as we saw like 30 seconds ago, Sprocket has a blowy arm.
Yeah.
My question is, how did Finn get in?
That's a good question.
Thank you.
Maybe they're kindergartners and he's a first grader, so he already has access to this room.
Okay.
But my question is, which responsible adult first gave an OP bionic arm to a 5-year-old, 6-year-old now?
I was wondering about that, and it feels like it could be a very tragic and sad story.
Because
typically on Star Trek, when someone has, a replacement, a prosthetic something, it's because they've lost that something. So it sucks that maybe this little Vulcan kid lost his arm.
Yeah, so
the
I had
age of, seven? Before the age of six, actually.
Before the age of six. I had a mind-blowing experience when I thought of a good headcanon for the whole scenario, but even this part of it.
Your headcanon blew your mind? That's really interesting. Please, I would like to hear it.
No, I get it. Unintentional pun is unintentional. So, one, what we're seeing is not really happening. It is, but it's not, in a way.
Do tell.
Kind of like Calvin and Hobbes, the comic strip.
Yeah.
When we see full-size Hobbes, we're seeing Calvin's imagination.
Yes.
We're seeing these people's imagination. So some of it was, like in the first episode, a soap bar.
Are you suggesting that Finn is a figment of their imagination?
No.
Oh, okay.
They're all really playing together and they're playing make-believe.
Okay.
So in the first episode, say they're in the bathtub and they're having a bath, and you know the parent is trying to, or the guardian is trying to use the, you know, they're trying to figure out how to defeat the soap bar.
Yeah, gotcha.
They can't defeat it with whatever they threw at it first. Gotcha. We have to defeat it with water.
So when we go back to this episode that we're doing right now,
yeah, okay,
of Let's Talk About Trek. So we're talking about episodes 4, 5, and 6. So for example, Sprocket asked for a pinata that had. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm assuming these are probably gummy pickles as opposed to pickles, but maybe that's maybe because he's a Vulcan. Have you seen those little gummy pickles?
I'm not sure I have, but I have seen gummy Lunchables and gummy bologna. So
sure.
I believe you when you say gummy pickles.
Yeah, we had bags and bags of them for a while. We get a lot of donations sometimes because at my 9 to 5, we serve, you know, underserved public. Mm. And so sometimes we get a lot of donations to give out to people. And somebody brought a whole case of Poppin' Pickles candy. Just like gummies shaped like pickles. They didn't really taste much like pickles, I was told. I never.
Oh, okay. They don't taste like dill or actual.
That was my understanding. They just taste like random gummy.
Well, I mean, I guess Swedish fish don't taste like fish. Aren't they cherry?
Fair point. I'm not sure what flavor they are, but that's a good point. Finally, they get a bat for this pinata.
Yeah.
And I realize, oh, this really is about like problem solving skills.
Yeah.
You know, like this is trying to teach the kids problem solving skills.
Yeah. The summary for one of the episodes that we're going to be reviewing today talks about STEM skills too.
Okay. So there's one thing that I was thinking was that, okay, so suppose that it's not necessarily imagination. No, this is just like another idea. So another idea is that they're actually inside a holodeck and that the holodeck is telepathic. Like that kid, what's his name? Jono from, no, not Jono. That's the kid from, that kid. You know what I'm talking about? Remember the kid, the blonde kid that was like kidnapped by the Talarians, I think? And like he had like the really loud, raucous music that sounded like Klingon music, and he was inside his quarters. Right, and at one point he was just like,
and he just whines like a puppy.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't know why I mentioned him because I wasn't talking about him. I was talking about the kid from Future Imperfect, the one that kidnapped Riker. He had like a telepathic holodeck, right? Because he would like sort of imagine things. So I'm wondering if they have that sort of technology and maybe these things are happening on this holodeck.
Yeah, along the same lines as that, is I was thinking that maybe Rue isn't human. Like she looks like she's Betazoid.
Okay.
And she's the one who's sharing all of the, they have a psychic connection and she's sharing everybody's imagination powers.
Oh.
Now, so the good version of the imagination story is maybe Sprocket just wishes he has a bionic arm. So he imagines himself with a bionic arm and he's like pointing his fist at things and going pew, pew, pew and go.
That makes the story much less tragic.
However, yes, the other negative version of that is there was some tragic event that took off his arm all the way up to his shoulder.
Yeah, very sad.
Also, he was obviously with his turtle because his turtle's also missing a limb as well.
Oh, is he? You are doing. Your powers of noticing ridiculous things is flooring me today.
No.
So the turtle's also missing an arm. Thank you for that.
And the reason they're always hanging out together, this is kind of an eclectic. Is eclectic the right word?
Is it? I don't know. You'll have to tell me what the rest of the thought is first.
An eclectic group of kids?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yes, it is an eclectic group of kids.
So I was going running with it and I was saying they're all orphans in some way. So Sprocket lost his parents in the accident that took his arm.
Oh. Okay.
And
yes, let's make this whole thing much more tragic than the identity. Let's give this thing some depth.
Well, this is why they have to play imagination so they can have a happy life in their imagination.
Oh, yeah, because they have to try to escape the reality of
there you go.
Okay. So not only is Rue telepathic and supporting this whole fantasy, but she's actually in a coma.
I mean, there's a whole Ash Ketchum is in a coma ever since the attack by the Beedrill in like episode 3 of Pokemon.
Okay. Thank you for sharing.
There's precedent for these kinds of things.
There's also, so in the cartoon Adventure Time, one of the theories is that Finn is a kid who was in a coma the entire series.
Oh, okay.
So episode 5 is Blast a Booger Asteroid in Space. I really enjoyed the idea that it was, what was it, the Borg? So the cold open is they're tickling a targ.
Yeah.
And then That's actually when I noticed that everybody has like a different animal and everybody has a pet. But the Booger asteroid comes from the Borg Booger barrier. I absolutely cannot.
Yeah, yeah. So, like you were talking about the subtitles before, it was calling it the Borg. Like, I'm bored.
Yeah, I did read that, yeah, but I'm certain that they were saying Borg.
I am certain, Borg. Yeah. Borg Booger barrier. Is that to protect us from the Borg, or did the Borg put that up to...
It's to protect them from us.
Ah.
Well, I'm not touching any Borg boogers.
Did you notice that Sprocket is always the one who scans the thing and tells them what it is?
Yeah, he's the science guy.
But he's wearing yellow.
He's not the science guy. Maybe he's the operations guy.
I'm getting there.
Well, bitch, I wasn't already there. What are you talking about?
Rue is always the one who shoots it.
Uh-huh. So she's tactical.
Yeah. Maybe this is an error where instead of switching yellow for red, they switch yellow for blue.
Maybe they just wear whatever they want to wear. You know, like maybe Spark is like, I don't like blue. Yeah, I'm a science guy. I'm not doing blue. You know? Like if you were to think about it as a bridge, like the way they're sitting, it appears as if he would be the helm officer and then she would be the communications officer. Or where Laan sits over there too, tactical.
Yeah.
Did she say Feringian beans?
Because
I heard Feringian, but I'm like, wait, that's not a thing.
I heard three words, or maybe my mind filled in the blanks.
Please tell me what words you heard.
The subtitle said Fingian, F-I-N-G-I-A-N.
Okay, not a thing. Please continue. What's the next option?
I heard Ferengian.
Yeah, I heard that too.
But I'm wondering if they meant Ferengi.
Yeah, I think that's what they meant, and I think they just didn't.
I mean, little kids.
I don't know how you make that mistake.
Well, little kids sometimes realize, hey, you add I-A-N to the end of a word to make it the possessive of.
So you're going to teach them wrong from the start just to make it easier for them?
I don't know.
2 + 2 = 4. And 2 + 3 = 4. But then you add one. Like, no. 2 + 3 = 5. What do you,
no,
what do you
think? Sir.
It's not Feringian. You don't teach them Feringian and then tell them, yeah, but take off the A-N. You know, like, just leave it off from the start.
Well, this is just, we're watching kids playing. They're not around adults because the adults aren't there to correct them.
Oh, so they are saying Feringian. Okay, so the writers think that that's cute.
Maybe, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The writer's Gene Roddenberry.
Eugene Roddenberry Jr.
So the Birdie Bot's all flavor beans make the booger bigger, buddy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because it's like the same thing, like gelatin and... Okay.
I noticed in this episode, the loading portion of the gun, where they're showing it transporting the thing away.
Yes. They replicate it, and it transports it into the gun, and then the gun shoots it. It becomes a beam, and then it turns back into the thing.
Yeah. The bars on the loading portion of it were multicolored instead of monochromatic like they usually are. This time they're yellow, blue, or blue, yellow, whichever you want to interpret it.
Yes.
And I was wondering if maybe the person who was in charge of this episode was a Michigan fan. Either that or Notre Dame.
Or Navy, perhaps.
I didn't realize that they had the same colors as Michigan and Notre Dame.
They do indeed.
Well, similar colors.
Yeah.
I guess Notre Dame is technically gold and navy blue.
Yeah. Navy is gold and, drum roll please, navy.
Oh, okay. Michigan is blue and yellow.
Sort of the same colors, wouldn't you say?
Yes, much.
That's all I'm saying.
Yes.
Okay, so he has a hoverboard. We have a hoverboard.
Yeah, Rue has a hoverboard.
Yeah, but so we are now in 2015 in Back to the Future, and we're just doing a whole bunch of product placement because there's also a boomerang here on Nickelodeon. You see what they did there? Well, shouldn't this show be on Boomerang? Isn't this more like a Boomerang type show?
Boomerang.
Wasn't that like for the little kids?
Nick Jr. is what you're thinking of.
No, I'm thinking of Boomerang because I've said the word boomerang.
You're right. I'm sorry.
thank you.
I think the demographic for Boomerang is retro stuff.
Oh, that's the term boomerang.
And I think it's owned by Cartoon Network.
Oh, okay. Thank you for that clarification.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So tissue or boot? What should we do?
We're back on the boogers?
So they hit it with a tissue and but then the booger asteroid hit them. Like, pieces of booger started falling from the sky. Well, so it hit them anyway.
I mean, but it was in smaller pieces, so less dangerous. Hypothetically, most of it just burned up in the atmosphere. Well,
yeah. Do you remember that? Remember that pandemic we had, where like snot broken up into little pieces was like worse.
Yeah. I was thinking about that a little bit, and I'm not sure that like all boogers contain a virus, especially if you don't have a virus at the time.
Well, sure.
But that is a good chance.
Obviously.
For
right, that's what I'm getting at.
Yes.
Thanks, Earl.
Yes.
All right. So episode 6 is when we zap a kernel asteroid into popcorn. The cold open, it just features some like extreme chair danger.
Yeah. Well, I've done this before.
Catapulted yourself from a spinning chair?
Not catapulted myself. I mean, you're experiencing centrifugal force. They say G-forces, but it's technically
centrifugal. Is it centrifugal or centripetal?
Oh. Have I been pronouncing it wrong this whole time?
No, they're two different things.
Oh.
One mimics what happens in a centrifuge.
Yeah.
And the other one is centripetal.
Then it would be a centrifuge goal.
Are you sure?
Isn't a centrifuge the thing that flings things around in a circle and everything gets flung to the wall?
So if you're in a chair and spinning, are you
doing
the same? You're in the middle though, right? So is it the same or is it something slightly different?
Yeah, you're being flung out towards the back of
You're not the being chair. Flung at all.
Well, towards the back of the chair. You're being pressed into the chair.
Well, centripetal force. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is the force that makes a body follow a curved path.
So that would be an orbit.
The direction of the centripetal force is always orthogonal to the motion of the body and towards the fixed point of the instantaneous center of the curvature of the path.
Okay. So I believe that JR would be experiencing both. And then planet would be two because it's spinning on its axis and it's in an orbit around the sun. Same thing.
It's not the same thing. No. That's not the same thing.
I'm not saying they're the same thing. I'm saying they're experiencing both at the same time.
The objects on the planet are experiencing the objects on the planet are experiencing centrifugal force.
Yes. But
the planet is not experiencing centrifugal force.
Cuz the planet isn't alive.
The planet is just what are you talking about?
Oh, wait, I forgot. We're a giant egg in space.
Are you suggesting that things that are not alive don't experience forces?
Well, they don't experience anything.
Is that what you're saying? Sure they do. They may not know they're experiencing it, but they experience it.
Uh-oh.
My car has had lots of experiences. My car just experienced driving to Pennsylvania and back.
Ooh.
It doesn't know it. Well, actually, it does know it.
It has
a whole computer inside. It knows exactly where it went. It's even got like GPS on it, so it knows exactly where it is. The AI overlords know exactly where it is. So they're attacked this time by a corn kernel asteroid from the Klingon corn cluster.
Yeah. Now the subtitles give Klingon a C.
Yeah, they should have made everything a K in that. Corn kernel asteroid from the Klingon corn cluster.
But how many K's would that be then, sir? I don't think they were going for...
There were five.
Oh, there were five?
That would be five.
Klingon?
Yeah.
Corn.
Corn kernel asteroid from the Klingon corn cluster. You want to argue about that too?
No. I was just hoping...
Are you sure?
We were for KKK.
No one was thinking that except for you.
Okay. Well, I was trying to avoid it. That's what I was trying to do.
Were you? There is no try. So clearly you did not. I was hoping for stinky socks first. But I guess butter and popcorn makes more sense than stinky socks and popcorn.
Yeah.
But I definitely expected to be like hit with a hail of buttery popcorn by the end of the episode.
You did expect that?
Because of the butter shooting at the corn kernel?
Yeah, absolutely.
Buttery popcorn should be fluttering down from
the sky. I just wanted to make sure I heard a positive rather than a negative. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the countdown made me think of microwaving popcorn. And then they, voila, they're like, we're going to use a microphone. Holy cow. That was right on time.
Yeah.
It walked me right into it. Also, I forgot about the jet boots that JR used in one of the early episodes.
Apparently, JR
from Star Trek V. Yeah, because he hasn't really been using them. Well, he hasn't really needed to use them. But so they also have, apparently, these Academy training shuttles. One thing I was thinking, since we're doing suppositions about what the backstory of this thing might be, is that they did a Culvert Starburst, and there were actually four of them. But now there's just the three of them.
Well, and apparently Sprocket barely transported away in time.
Yeah. He doesn't know how. The turtle's name is Star.
Yes.
Do the other creatures have names?
Yes. I have not taken note of them, though.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure that JR has talked to the insect dog.
Dog? Is okay. You, it looks like a dog to you? Okay. It seems like a cat to me. But I was thinking maybe it was a salat. Perhaps. Oh, I don't know.
No? Mm-hmm.
Do we know any animals with antennae from Star Trek, I should say? Just to clarify. I don't want you to get confused.
Maybe it's an Andorian dog.
Yeah, that's, I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of that
or has cat.
Antennae.
Or dog, cat, cat dog, cat dog.
If you or a loved one know to what this cat might be a reference, please comment below.
Wait, what cat?
Whatever it is. Whatever it is. Listen, listen. If you think you know what this thing is, tell us what this thing is. I'm very curious.
Okay. Well, you're right. The one thing is a targ. A tortoise is from Earth, so they both exist in Star Trek.
Okay. Were you trying to find a way that I was wrong?
No, I'm trying to find a way that maybe this isn't just a made up just for the show creature.
Yeah.
I see what you're trying to
do. That's why I asked the people. That's why I asked the people to help me crowdsource. It is funny how now we have sort of a standard Star Trek crew of seven, because you know you got the kids and you got their pets and Finn. So you got your seven characters for the show. Ooh. Pretty neat.
Cool. I'm Jack
Dorino
noticed a thing that
it's for the fuck. Thanks. Thanks. It's my first time. How'd I do?
No. Yeah, there's been other times.
Discover, grow, boldly go.
This set of episodes I actually enjoyed more than I enjoyed the first set of episodes. I think with the first three episodes, I was just like, what is this? What am I doing? Why am I watching this?
I think we're, and I don't think I really like got characters.
Into it and like paid attention to it. But like now that I'm actually looking at it, I'm like, oh, they are a little like vaguely clever in some things. Yeah. And the objects and the things that they're hitting with them sort of like make sense together. They're sort of, so I can get with it. And I do like the fact that the idea that we're adding in like a little bit of story here, mm-hmm. and maybe we'll slowly add in like a lot more story. I was surprised to see a nemesis come up. That was shocking to me. And then they, I don't know where he came from. I'm hoping maybe we'll figure that out one day, how he relates to them and where he went when they shot him out the window. Treehouse. His parents are going to be very upset.
Yeah. I see where you're going with this. I'm wondering if these shorts are sort of supposed to be a multi-part pilot.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that we would get like maybe longer, more than 5-minute episodes, so that we could start developing story and character and stuff.
Yeah. I kind of like what we're doing on our own.
Well, yeah.
No need for them to come along and make it concrete. Well, just, okay, so it's Rue's in a coma, and Sprocket's been horribly misfigured in the shuttle accident that killed their fourth friend, right? when they were doing as toddlers a covert starburst that was highly inadvisable because they're toddlers. He had his turtle with him. His turtle lost the same arm. And that's why Rue's in the coma and creating all these things for them. Maybe Finn is actually the fourth kid. And in their imagination, he grew up, but he's mad at them. And that's why he comes in, does mischievous things to them.
Wow. I kind of like that.
Yeah. I'm going to put these fan theories online. Like Star Trek creepypasta. Creepy Chuckers.
There you go.
Creepy Chuckster.
Are you going to do some...
can I call that Creepy Chuckster? Yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
Fan...
fan fiction?
Fan fiction.
Yeah. No.
Oh, okay.
But thank you for asking. So, yeah. Cool set of episodes. I still want to give this an NR, but were I forced, I would give it the same rating as I'd give the other ones. Because... I really want to give it an NR. That was a
simple. What's an NR? Oh, no rating?
Why do you rate? Yeah, it's difficult to rate these. But this is cool. Yeah. Like, I would rate this set of episodes higher than the first set of episodes, but that might be because of my personal experience, so maybe not necessarily fair. It's just like, okay, I get it a little better now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe the next set of episodes will be like, these are amazing. Probably not. But, you know.
Well, maybe they got picked up for an entire series, so maybe... They're getting better and better.
Perhaps they are. And you?
I enjoyed these episodes. The first episode had good character development, like I said, with Sprocket's birthday. But it lost some points for me for whoever gave access to the power tools to these little...
Shuttlecraft?
I was going in order.
Sorry.
Whoever gave Yard power tools to 4 and 5 and 6 year olds.
Yeah.
So I rated this one a 5.
Okay.
Episode.
Because of the irresponsible adults.
Yeah, the irresponsible adults.
Okay.
Yeah. Sure. For episode 5.
Yes.
Just gross. Ew. 4.4.
This is the booger episode?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And. Now,
Borg boogers.
Yeah.
The Borg booger barrier.
There's Borg boogers in that booger barrier.
That's good impression, I guess.
Thank you.
I thought episode 6 was great. They really buttered me up with all the starship action.
Yeah, very good, Earl. That was great. That was really great. I'm tickled that you said that. But please continue.
Where was I? Yeah, I gave the episode an 8.
You got buttered up.
I got buttered up by the episode. Mm-hmm.
Buttered up and buttered down. That's not the same thing, is it?
I'm not sure if it is. No.
Yeah, so here we are with more Scouts coverage.
Yeah.
You know, I would say it's not a total waste of your time because it is... What, 12 minutes per 3 episodes?
Yeah.
That's cool. Like, if I'm going to watch, typically if I'm going to watch a YouTube something,
yeah.
I like to put it on like 1.5 or 2 speed because people talk slowly so I'm forced to like watch their thing and spend an ass of time. I don't have that time. So typically I do it on like double speed or something.
Yeah.
But with these, I can do it on regular speed.
Okay.
And, you know, it's okay. Hmm. So it's just short enough to not be annoying. Yeah.
Well, and it's also not too short that it's also annoying because some of the YouTube shorts they're filmed in sideways. What's the word I'm looking for?
Portrait
mode instead of widescreen mode or landscape mode.
Well, I'm glad. Yes. Okay. Well, I'm glad they didn't do that. So in the next episode, we are covering 3 more episodes of the hit new show, Star Trek Scouts.
Yes. Three or 4?
Scouts.
Or maybe you're hoping we'll get 12?
I think we'll just do 7, 8, and 9.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Because that's what we said.
Yeah.
So we want to stick to our guns since we can't stick to doing an episode every week. Just kidding. We're doing our best here.
We're adjusting to a new time schedule.
For temporary time.
Yes.
I've been told that this is going to change. Come soon. Come soon, time soon. Down the road.
All right, everybody. That's our show.
Is our show. Thank you for asking that as a question.
Well, I'm not used to having only a half an hour episode. Or not, well.
Yeah.
45 minutes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. I think we're just under.
Oh, okay.
You repeated. For the second time.
Next time on Let's Talk About Treks, as Jack said,
boom.
It's Star Trek Scouts, Season 1,
indeed.
Episode 7, 8, and 9.
Why was 6 afraid of 7?
7, 8, 9.
Those are the ones we're watching. Yes, absolutely. No, because 6 is a punk. The joke actually is 6 is a different word that has 5 letters. I just didn't want to say it for yet another episode. Did you disappear?
What?
Okay. Why was 6 afraid of 7?
Because the classic joke is because 7, 8, 9.
No, because 6 is a... So?
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right. It's been real. It's been fun.
Yes. Until next time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very tense today.
Yeah. Stay positive.
You're a wigwam and a TV.
What?
You're a wigwam in a teepee.
All right.
2/10.
Oh, anyway. Oh, okay.
Wow.
Sorry.
Everybody loves that on their podcast, in their ears with their headphones on. Yeah, it's their favorite thing.
Alrighty, everybody, that's our episode. Thank you for joining us. Yes. Until next time, please stay positive.
Do it.
Dream big. Real big. And you'll hear from us again soon.
Oh, there's a new trailer of this show to Patreon.com. Let's Talk About Treks is a production of Anodyne Relay, supported by the Star Trek fan community of listeners like you. We review the copyrighted works of Paramount CBS's Star Trek team, of whom no copyright infringement is intended. You can reach us via email at email@letstalkabouttreks.com. You can leave us a message at area code 202-804-6312. Our producer is David Moody, and our writers, Jack and Earl, are on Twitter as @TrekStalkers, and would greatly appreciate the obligatory like and subscribe from wherever you're listening now. We record on Lenovo computers with Zoom, mix with NCH Mixpad, and master with Kakos Reaper. Our intro, outro, and interstitial musics feature samples from Awakening by Waterboy from Pixabay.
It's a couple minutes of the, I believe, what to be the first episode.
Cool.
Check it out.
All right.
Tell us what you think.
Does that go for me, too?
Yes. Okay, goodbye now.
All right, ciao.
Have a great night. You too. Cheers.
Sleep well. Computer.
Okay. Let me find my thing. Okay, here it is.
Yes. Right. Me too.
All right then. Sorry.
Yeah. Baby sneeze? Wait, what? Wait.
No, don't sneeze.
I'll try
no
not
sneezing
to.
Alone. If you do, it's all over.
Oh, are we getting a divorce?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
No sneezing is allowed. And I want half.
Do what?
And I want half.
You want half? Half of what? I have nothing. Well, the comic book.
Oh, you certainly do. Exactly.
I mean, you can have
games, toys, figures, comic books, books, graphic audio.
Have you started the one?
I started one. So I started one, and I listened to two of the parts, but I need to reformat it so that I can listen to all it in a go because it's very, I was trying to drive.
Yeah.
For 4 hours.
Oh.
And I ended up switching to an audiobook. But anyway, please.
Yeah, because it's divided. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Because then I'd have to like find the next title in my files on the iPad and or on the phone. And
oh, click, okay. You know. Yeah, yeah. Mine, I just have to sort it into one, all the different MP3s into one folder and it keeps playing them.
Yeah, they were all in one folder.
Yeah.
Oh, oh okay. I think I, but yeah, it's, I was driving. That's the only thing.
Yeah. Okay. Was, anyway.
Yeah.
Welcome, everybody.
Hello.
We are.
What? Yeah. Mm-hmm.